Open your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 13. The first book of the Bible, I think it's on page 12. Genesis chapter 13. We're moving through the life of Abram. Abram, of course, becomes Abraham. He's the father of the faith. And as those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and bow to Him as King, we join Abram in doing that. He was the one who first trusted in Christ, trusted in God's promises, and we become His spiritual descendants. He's a father of the faith. He wasn't the first person to believe in God's promises, but he's regarded as the father of the faith. Abram and Lot have traveled for quite some time together. They've left Ur together. They traveled through Haran. They came into Canaan. They went down to Egypt. They come back into Canaan. They've been together for a long time. And here in this passage, these longtime companions part ways. So listen to the Word of God. It's the story of faith. And as we read this story, we're to be encouraged in our faith, directing us to Christ and to live by faith in Him. So listen to God's Word. I'll read all of chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was rich in livestock, in silver and gold. And he journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, I will go to the right. If you take the right hand, I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered, everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the valley, all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. That's the word of God. Down in Australia and the surrounding islands in that area, there's a beautifully colored bird called a rainbow lorikeet. It's splashed with color. It has deep blues and emerald greens and brilliant gold and orange with a red beak. It's splashed with color, and because it's so colorful, it can't help but stand out from its landscape of browns and greens. It can afford such attention because it can fly away from its predators, but it can't help but stick out from its surroundings. The chameleon, on the other hand, is a very slow and quite helpless lizard. its only form of defense is that it can change its color so it can blend into the surrounding area so that predators have a hard time spotting it. So it may normally be brown or green to blend in with the bark of a tree or green leaves. But it also, when necessary, can show brilliant colors of purple or blue or yellow if that enables them to blend in with whether it's sunlight or a flower or whatever. Both of these animals are colorful, but the chameleon spends his time blending into his environment, or trying his best to blend into his environment, while the rainbow lorikeet can't help but stick out from its environment. Well, these two animals symbolize two kinds of Christians, both of which we find in this story of Abram and Lot. Abram is like the rainbow lorikeet. He's a Christian who lives out his faith in the midst of an unbelieving world. He listens to God. He worships God. He lives by God's promises. His eyes are set on the city of God. He lives by faith, and as a result, he sticks out in the midst of this unbelieving world. He's weird. He's beautiful. Lot, on the other hand, acts more like a chameleon. The Christian who, although has real saving faith, he more blends into his environment and looks and thinks and behaves like the unbelieving world around him. He wants independence and prosperity, and he sets his eyes on the city of man. And the results are devastating. As we look at these two Christians, think about your own life. Maybe you have a real saving faith, but no one would know it by the way that you live or the way that you speak. Instead of standing out from this unbelieving world, you more blend in like a chameleon. And there isn't really much of a difference that someone could spot between you and those who don't believe. Maybe you're living this life seeking pleasure or prosperity or striving for the American dream, living like the world, but as we'll see, the life of a spiritual chameleon only ends in grief and heartache and sadness. Instead, live like a rainbow lorikeet, living the life of faith, fixing your eyes on Christ, living by His promises, setting your eyes on that city, the city of God, the new heavens and new earth that awaits all those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Live by faith. Live in light of God's promises, and you won't be able to help but stick out from this unbelieving world, all for the glory of the God who saved you. You kids, if you want to draw a picture, you can draw a picture of a beautifully colored lorikeet, a rainbow lorikeet, with its deep and brilliant colors. You can also draw a picture of a chameleon, a sly chameleon. Don't blend in like the chameleon, but live out your faith like a lorikeet. You stand out, all for the glory of God. So in Genesis chapter 12, God graciously rescued Abram from a very difficult situation, a very sticky situation there in Egypt. Abram wasn't really living by faith, but yet God still graciously rescued him and redeemed him. And so after that rescue, they headed back north up into the land of Canaan. Into the land of God, the land that God had promised to give Abram and his descendants. And so they made their way up to Bethel and Ai. And it's in between these two cities that Abram first built an altar when he first entered the land of Canaan. And there it says he called upon the name of the Lord. He worshipped God. God had just graciously rescued him from Egypt. He had gotten into that mess by himself. He wasn't living by faith, but yet God rescued him, so his response was worship. And this, of course, was the pattern of Abram's life. He doesn't live a perfect life of faith by any means. We watched him fail there in Egypt, and that's not going to be the last time. But yet God, as he experiences God's grace, like being rescued from Egypt, his response was worship and praise. He's growing in his faith. As they ease their way back into the normal routine of life there in Canaan, if they had a normal routine of life, a conflict arose. Abram was a very wealthy man. He not only was rescued from Egypt, but he left Egypt with lots of gold and silver and animals. And Lot also had a very sizable fortune of his own. And so with these massive herds of sheep and cattle, of camels and donkeys, and hundreds of people, servants, living off the land, it became apparent that the land couldn't support both Abram and Lot living together. It was causing conflict. Because of their great wealth, they began to argue. And so Abram's herdsmen would say, "Look, we dug this well. You need to go dig your own well. This is our well, so dig your own. Or we got to this pasture land first, and so take your sheep somewhere else." There was conflict. To some level, this is the kind of conflict that we can identify with, not because we have big herds and wealth, but in our own families. Remember, Lot was Abram's nephew, and Lot's father had died back in Ur. And so Abram was acting like a father figure. And Lot had been with Abram for just about his whole life. But Lot was beginning to grow restless under the wings of his uncle. And so you parents of teenagers, you maybe have experienced this. You know what it's like when your child grows up, and the older they get, the more restless they become under your roof, and they maybe begin to buck your authority, and they chafe under your rules, and at some point it's just time for them to move out. That seems to be what's part of what's happening here with Abram and Lot. Lot doesn't seem to want to stick around Abram. He's ready to stretch his wings to make it on his own. Well, as a good father figure, Abram takes Lot. He recognizes that Lot is growing restless, so he takes him up onto this hill, onto the top of the hill, top of a hill, so that he can see the land around him. And Abram says, "Look, there doesn't need to be any strife between us. We're family. We don't need to fight. And so I brought you up on this hill so that you can look at all the land around us, and I'll give you the choice. Wherever you go, I'll go the other direction. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go north, I'll go south." And really, it's a very gracious offer that Abram gives him. Abram's the older man. He has the right to choose which direction to go, but he graciously and generously offers the choice to Lot. It says that Lot looked over the land, and of course these were herdsmen, these were men who had traveled the land, and so they knew where the good pieces of land were, they knew what the cities were like around those places, and he lifted his eye to the Jordan Valley, the Jordan River Valley. The Jordan River Valley was well watered. It looked like the Garden of the Lord, or like the land of Egypt, a place where it doesn't appear like famine has any impact. And so Lot saw it, and he chose that. That's where I want to go. Lot took his fortune, took his livestock, his servants, and he headed east to the land of the Jordan Valley toward the city of Sodom. Abram, though, went west toward Hebron. These are two men of faith. And I wouldn't have been so sure of Lot's faith. It's hard to see his faith played out in his life. But we're told in 2 Peter 2:8 that he was a righteous man before the Lord. That means he trusted in the Lord Jesus. He was righteous in God's sight. He trusted in God's promises. But as we watch him make decisions in life, we see not a man directed by faith, but a man who's directed more by his own selfish desires. These two men of faith go in two different directions because they're motivated by different things. Well, you have to ask then, what were the deciding factors? What were those internal motivations that made them go two opposite directions? Well, I want to point out three differences in their motivations. The first difference was that Lot was motivated by spiritual independence, while Abram was motivated by spiritual dependence. Lot, spiritual independence. Abram, spiritual dependence. The fact that Lot was willing to part ways with Abram shows that he was motivated more by independence, even if it was at the expense of his faith. remember, Abram is the one that God called out of the land of Ur. Abram is the one that God promises to bless. It's Abram's descendants that will grow into a great nation. It's Abram's descendants that will inherit the land. Abram's family is the family of faith. And so, by Lot separating himself willingly from the family of Abram, Lot is putting distance between himself and the blessing of God. He won't have Abram encouraging him in the faith anymore. He won't have Abram mentoring him or leading in worship or leading him spiritually. Instead, he's going to be on his own. But this is something he's willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give this up because it's all in the name of independence. I want to go live my life unencumbered by my uncle. Well, how many times have you made decisions based on independence rather than based on what's best for your faith and seeking the nearness of God? Maybe this is with your parents. You just can't wait to get out of the house. You're just tired of all their rules. And you don't realize that in most cases, it's your parents who are leading you spiritually. Or you go to college and you live under the rules there at college. You're here at Geneva. And over the years, those rules become oppressive. And you just want your own place. You want to be independent. And finally, you graduate and you're free. And you can move wherever you want and live wherever you want. Go whichever direction you please. Now, to be clear, these are important steps that you need to make. You shouldn't be living with your parents your whole life. And there should be a time when you leave college. You shouldn't want to stay in college forever. But examine your motivation. Are you growing restless in these places because you're desiring to be independent? You don't like the oversight that's over you. You want to leave because you seek independence, or are you ready to leave because you're so eager to serve God? Check your motivation. I think that the way that this most directly applies in our lives actually is in our relationship with the church. Abram, most clearly, Abram and his family are really the church at this point. This was the family of God. The promised land was the place of God. This is where God met with Abram. But Lot wanted to get out from under that yoke of the church. And by moving eastward, moving toward the city of Sodom, he actually left the borders of the land of Canaan, the promised land. He traveled to the other side of the Dead Sea because he wanted to be independent, all at the cost of his faith. Think about it. God is the one. God promised that he would bless Abram, and Lot would have benefited from those blessings had he stuck around. He would have been built up in the faith. He would have continued in the worship of God. But instead, he wanted independence, and so he left the church. He left the land. He left the people of God. Is your life characterized by this kind of spiritual independence? I don't want anyone telling me what to do. And you make decisions not based on what's best for your faith, but because you want freedom. This is too often the mentality among Christians. Church is so often way down on the list of priorities, or sometimes abandoned altogether. Abandoned by those who confess the name of Christ because they just don't want the authority over them. There's too many problems, and they want to stretch their wings. And so when you think about it, when you think about where you want to live long term, what do you think about first? Where God is calling you, what church you can be a part of? Or is that sort of down the list? You first figure out, find a nice job, a nice neighborhood, find a good culture, find where there's good food, lots of recreational activities, a pleasant climate, it's nice. And if there's a good church in the area, great. The reality is that God has promised to bless His church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. In Ephesians 4, Christ gave gifts to the church so that the body of Christ would grow up into the fullness of Christ. As you gather for worship, God promises to meet with you in a special way, and He gives you a taste of heaven. Are you tempted to separate yourself from the blessing of God simply because you want to be independent? Lot is motivated by independence even at the expense of faith. He blends into the world. Abram, on the other hand, was motivated by spiritual dependence. Now, I again acknowledge that Abram is not a perfect Christian, so we're not holding him up as the perfect Christian. The Bible doesn't pretend that he is. We just saw in chapter 12 that he compromised. He put his wife in harm's way just to protect himself. And that's not going to be the last time that he falters, but he's seeking to live by faith, and he's growing in the faith. And so as you think of the life of Abraham, what characterizes his life? What was the first thing he did after he returned from Egypt into the land of Canaan? He worshipped. He got to Bethel where he had built an altar and he worshipped God. What's the first thing he does after he and Lot part ways? He heads west to Hebron, and there he builds an altar and he worships the Lord. This man is marked by a dependence upon God. He's not motivated by independence. He's not tired of the restraints put on him by God. He's not tired of the rules. But instead, he acknowledges that he needs God for life and breath and all things. He is dependent upon God. And that's really what worship is. Worship is acknowledging that God is God. We are creatures. We depend on Him for everything in our lives. We need Him. Is it this spiritual dependence that drives you? Does this drive you in the decisions that you make? Is there an obvious dependence upon God in the way that you live your life? Is your life marked by worship? Abram sticks out from this world of independence and makes decisions showing and acknowledging a dependence upon God. So that's the first deciding factor. The second deciding factor that led these two men in two different directions is that Lot was motivated by earthly prosperity, but Abram was motivated by divine promises. Lot sought earthly prosperity, Abram sought divine promises. Lot had fixed his eyes on the land of Jordan, the valley of Jordan. It was lush, it was fertile, green, and fruitful. And all of that translates into money. That's prosperity there in those days. And the writer here, Moses, put in a little clarification note. In verse 10, he says that this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the land that Moses saw wasn't as fertile as what Lot and Abram had seen. This was a lush part of land at that time. It was prosperous and fertile. And so Lot was making decisions based on how comfortable can I make this life? How can I make the most money? He wanted to make this life as comfortable as possible, even at the cost of drawing him away from the family of God, away from God Himself. And so again, we see God taking a back seat here. This, of course, is the primary motivation of unbelievers. They make decisions, trying to make this life as comfortable as possible, trying to be as rich as possible, and make this life as good as possible. And so Lot blends into his environment. How often do you make decisions primarily on comfort and financial gain? Now, it's, of course, not bad to take a job that pays more, but will you take that job at the expense of your faith? Maybe it calls you to work unnecessarily on the Lord's Day, and so you have to miss worship. Or it draws you away from the community of God's people. Or this job stifles you in your faith. Are you willing to make more money at the expense of your own faith? Most of you college students, you're eventually going to move away from Beaver Falls. Some of you might stick around, hopefully. But you may be looking for jobs all around the country. And the question is, what's going to be your motivation? Is it to make as much money as you can? Is it to strive for the American dream? Or will faith be your driving factor? Will your primary concern be how you can serve God best? Or will you grow spiritually? Will you look for a job and then a church? Or will you look for a church community and then look for a job? Are you trying to make this life as comfortable and prosperous as possible? If that's your motivation, then you're just blending in. Abram, on the other hand, didn't make decisions based on earthly prosperity, but rather on divine promises. At the beginning of chapter 12, as Abram left his homeland in Ur, and he moved to the land of Canaan, God promised Abram this. He said, I'll make you into a great nation, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abram believed the promise, and so he followed. That promise of blessing all the nations was speaking of the blessing of Abram's biological descendant, Jesus Christ, who would come and be a blessing for us, all the nations. We come from nations all around the world. But the gospel's come to us because through Abram, through the descendant of Abram, we have been included into the family of faith, the family of God. And so Abram believed in that promise, the coming Savior. Then when Abram entered the land of Canaan for the first time, God promised him. He said, to your descendants, I'm going to give this land. And then at the end of chapter 13, God said to Abram, look around, look north and south, east and west, all this land I'm going to give you and to your offspring forever. And I'm going to make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that no one will be able to count him. God makes incredible promises to Abram, this one man with no children. He makes incredible promises, and Abram seeks to live based on those promises, believing these promises to be true, even when he can't see them. You might have thought that Abram would be bummed when Lot chose the really lush land, but it doesn't appear. Why wasn't he bummed? That was because he knew that all this land had been promised to him. This land belonged to him, essentially. And not only was it the land of Canaan, but that was symbolic of the whole world. This was his land, so who cares if Lot inhabits that piece of land for a little bit? This is all his. He was living on the promises of God. And we have to remember, Abram didn't see the fulfillment of these promises, but yet he lived believing these promises were true, even when it didn't appear true. Even when he didn't see their fulfillment. And that's why he stands out in stark contrast to the world around him. He made decisions that the world wouldn't be able to make sense of. That doesn't make sense. Why would you continue on in Canaan if the lush land is around Sodom? As Christians, we are to be people of faith, believing in God's promises. Not living by sight, not living by emotion or feeling. Instead, you're to live right now believing that through Jesus, your sins have been washed clean. That you've been reconciled with God our Father. That you've been adopted into the family of faith. Adopted, justified, loved, filled with the Spirit. You are an heir of this world. This world is yours. Co-heirs with Christ. You're to live believing that God watches over you wherever you are. Whether that's in Texas or New York City and Beaver Falls. Whether you're at work or at home in bed. He'll never leave you or forsake you. We believe that that's true. We believe it's true that all things work together for our good. Even when we can't see how this could be good. It doesn't make sense, but we live by faith in the promises. It doesn't feel true, but we're going to believe it because God said it. Are you living by the promises of God, or are you simply trying to make this life as comfortable and luxurious as possible? Live by faith in the promises of God, and you'll stand out like a rainbow lorikeet in the world around you. The third and last deciding factor that led these men in two different directions is that Lot set his eyes on the city of man, and Abram set his eyes on the city of God. Lot headed east towards Sodom. And maybe his initial intent wasn't to go to Sodom. He just wanted to live in that land. It was lush and green. But in a few chapters, we'll see that he settles there. He's living there in Sodom. And Sodom was a prosperous place. One commentator said that there were 10 cities that were in that area, in that Jordan River area. And it says that they said that Sodom was the biggest and best and most prosperous of all. A city provides stability and money and luxury and opportunity. And that's what Lot set his eyes on. The problem was that it was a wicked place. It was a place of uncontrolled sexual sin and perversion and disgusting practices, corruption. And Lot willingly settled there. He left the promised land. He left the city of God, the land of God, in exchange for the city of man. And it was all at the cost of his faith and his family. Abram, on the other hand, kept his eyes fixed on the city of God. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, says, "By faith, Abram went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents." And why did he do that? Why did he wander around in this foreign land? It says, because he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abram wasn't just looking to find comfort in the city of man. He was looking for a city that was built by God and built on God. These verses in Hebrews are really a description of the Christian life. We journey through this world not content, not seeking to make this life as comfortable as possible, recognizing that our homes are not the end-all, be-all of life, but rather we're looking forward to that greater city, that city of God, the new heavens and new earth, the new Jerusalem that will come out of heaven with all the perfected and glorified people of God, where we will live in God's presence forever. Abram lived in the promised land like a foreigner because his eyes were set on that hope, on that promise, on that city. You also live like a foreigner in this land. You stick out, or you ought to stick out, because your eyes are fixed on the kingdom, anticipating the coming kingdom of God, when God will make all things new. We're searching for and working towards the new heavens and new earth, the city whose builder and founder is God. That's what makes you stick out. These two men, these two Christians, they go in two different directions because they have entirely different motivations. They have different deciding factors. Well, what's the result of these decisions? Abram became the father of the faith, not without his failings, but he lived, dependent upon God, believing in the promises of God that were his through faith in the Messiah. He had his eyes fixed on the coming kingdom, on the city of God, whose builder and founder is God. But Lot had a very different end. Lot's direction led to devastation. He wasn't going to Sodom to be salt and light in a dark place, but he was going there for fortune. And what ended up happening is that the people of Sodom ended up affecting him and persuading him and influencing him a lot more than Lot influenced them. What happened was that he left the land of Canaan. He left Abram and the family of faith. He distanced himself from God and the blessings of God. The very next chapter, he gets captured by a bunch of wicked kings. And after that, he was rescued by Abram, and after that, he stayed there. He and his children married people from Sodom. At the beginning of chapter 19, he's found at the city gates, which means that he's a part of the leadership of that city. He's on the city council of sorts. But he's not salt and light in a dark and decaying world. No, he's just one of them. He blends in. In that same chapter, he shows that he's slipped into this thinking of the city of Sodom when he offers his two daughters to be abused and raped by a mob of sexually crazed men who storm his house. He offers his daughters. He loses his married children to Sodom. They stay there when the city is destroyed. Lot was so attached to the city of Sodom that the angel of the Lord had to go in and really extract him. And as he was being extracted, he lost his wife because his wife looked back longingly on this city. And so he escaped only with two of his daughters. But it becomes clear later on that his daughters also adopted the perversion of Sodom, and they committed incest with their father. And that produced two children, Moab and Ammon, both of which grow into nations that rise up against God's people and try to persecute and crush God's people. talk about devastating. Lot blended into the world. And although he was still a Christian, it cost him everything else. You may have a real faith, but maybe you're living more like a chameleon because you think that's the best way to go. You want to be independent. You're seeking prosperity. You want to make it a name for yourself in these cities of the world. But be warned. Follow that path and get ready to lose much. It'll cost you your faith, cost you your family. Right now, make a decision to live by faith in Christ in all that you do, to believe His promises, even when they don't appear true, to rest in His care, to hold fast to Him, and you'll stand out like a rainbow lorikeet. Some years before this story, Lot had a genuine faith. He was genuinely converted, and he left Ur, went with Abram. They settled in Haran, and they made lots of money there in Haran, and Lot could have stayed there, but he continued on with Abram, fixing his eyes on the city of God, living by the promises of God. But over the years, his faith grew cold. He reverted to his old ways, his selfish ways of living, and you and I, we have this tendency. Your faith can be alive and vibrant one day, one moment, and the next moment, and feels sluggish and cold. And you go back to your old way of thinking. You know, this was the problem with the church in Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus, and He commended them for a number of things, but He said this, "I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first." Lot had abandoned his first love. He abandoned his first love and he blended in with the world. Has the same thing happened to you? Or do you seek to live by faith in Jesus Christ, claiming all the promises of God, making decisions based on those promises, which make it so that you can't help but stick out from this unbelieving world around you? Live by faith every day. Make your decisions based on divine promises. Fix your eyes on that great city, the city of God, with Christ as the King. And you'll stick out like a rainbow lorikeet in a dark world. All for the glory of the God who saved you. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we oftentimes do live like the world around us. We get lulled to sleep in our faith. Wake us up. Grab our attention. Let us return to our first love and let us live every day for You. Living every day based on Your promises. And let us, as we do that, stick out beautifully in this dark world. All for Your honor and glory. Reveal to us the places in our lives where we're not living by faith, where we blend into the world. And by the power of Your Spirit, change us. And let us live by faith, all for Your glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.